Brett Thomas here with Brian Johnson. Brian, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, I'm Brett. Appreciate the invitation. Excited to chat.
Many of you listening know Brian, but Brian started an online community called Zods, and he also did something that's fairly well known with a lot of folks in the Integral community called Philosopher's Notes, and then he's got a really exciting project that he'll hopefully tell us a little bit more about, Entheos Academy. You know, Brian, as I mentioned to you before when we were speaking, a lot of folks have been following your work and really appreciate the ideas and the energy that you've brought, you know, into this broad community of folks that are interested in consciousness and, you know, making the world a better place. And so I'm just really delighted to have this opportunity to chat with you for a few minutes. Can you just tell us a little bit about what currently has your energy and attention? What are you focused on and, you know, what you're really interested in right now?
Absolutely. And once again, thanks for the invitation. Really excited to chat about all these topics. So as you mentioned, Zods was really passionate about that, and Philosopher's Notes was really one of the reasons why I sold Zods however many years ago now, was I wanted to commit myself full-time to studying optimal living and decided to give myself a PhD in how to live. And there wasn't a program that integrated everything I wanted to study, from old school philosophy, spirituality, mysticism, modern positive psychology, creativity, relationships, conscious business, everything I think goes into creating an extraordinary life in the 21st century. So I decided to give myself my own PhD. Philosopher's Notes was the master's project in that. And the idea with that was to distill 100 of my favorite optimal living books from the old school classics, like the Tao Te Ching and the Bhagavad Gita and the Dhammapada and Nietzsche and Emerson, up to the modern day popular teachers, including Cannon, Deepak, and Wayne Dyer. All these different guys are doing different things, and women. And then the dissertation with that was, well, I should say too, I wanted to create a profitable business doing it. I didn't just want to study. I wanted to demonstrate that you can get paid to do what you love to do and create a conscious, cool business in the process. So that was Philosopher's Notes. And the dissertation for that PhD was distilling it into my own meaningful, hopefully, inspiring, practical, grounded, and super practical little book where I shared 100 of my favorite big ideas. So that was kind of leading up to this point. And then my life is really about integrating ideas and then integrating my own identities, if you will, as part philosopher and part entrepreneur. And was wondering, what am I going to do now that I'm kind of completing this phase with Philosopher's Notes? And was having breakfast with a new friend of mine and favorite author. Do you know Stephen Pressfield, who wrote The War of Art?
I don't know Stephen's work. I'm happy to learn about it, though.
Well, fantastic. I'll need to send you a book. It's just an awesome book. Basically, just one big kick in the butt on moving through the resistance we feel as creative individuals, whether it's as artists or writers or entrepreneurs or whatever. And anyway, I was having breakfast with him, and we were hitting it off talking about classic virtue and integrity in the 21st century. And he asked me if I'd ever considered creating a university, and specifically, what would a modern day's Plato's Academy look like? And we talked about that. And I said, well, one thing I know for sure is I'd have you, Stephen Pressfield, amazing guy who's written 30-plus books and this great book on the creative process. I'd have you teach a class in that academy. And that was just a few months ago, but over the last several months, I've been reaching out to friends and favorite authors of mine. And the idea is we want to work with world-class authors and teachers to help them share their wisdom on optimal living in roughly 10 different domains, ranging from nutrition, fitness, and health and well-being, to positive psychology, creativity, relationships and sexuality, leadership and self-development, parenting, meditation, mindfulness and spirituality, wealth, conscious business, and then politics, sustainability, and activism. Kind of just the 10 rough domains that we think if you're going to create a modern academy for optimal living, that you'd be learning some good stuff within those domains. And so really excited to launch the first wave of courses. Was planning to have about 10, and it looks like we're going to approach closer to 20 different courses in those different areas, and then really excited to get going next year. So that's where I'm putting all my energy these days.
Wow, I'm so excited to be a part of that and attend some of those classes. Thank you for doing that. How cool. I'm reminded of, you mentioned the term integrating different identities as both a philosopher, as an entrepreneur, and then integrating different ideas, all these various philosophers that you've studied. And I'm also reminded of, you know, people have talked, including Ken, about there's been many versions of integral, you know, kind of the leading edge of society all the way back to Plato's Academy. I've been inspired by Plato's Academy myself. And one could say that at that time, that was a kind of integrating early version of integral. And here we are, you know, the recapitulation, you know, generation after generation as society continues to evolve. And then here's this word, integral. And I think that, you know, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and I think that's exactly right and as it should be. What's your sense about, are we living in an integral age? Are we moving into from a postmodern to an integral age? You know, some people identify with being as part of the integral community or having an integral worldview. Obviously, people are students of integral theory, but not everybody is. And yet, so what's just your orientation to all of that, if you could share with us?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we've chatted about before is when I imagine looking forward 100, 250, 500 years from now, it's not very difficult for me to imagine that those individuals looking back on our current era could very likely call that an integral era. That just makes sense to me. It's the first time in history where all these ideas are coming together in the way they're coming together, and we're integrating cultures and such amazing dynamics. And that to me just has a deep, profound truth to it. But my emphasis is less on identifying myself as integral per se, and more about just continuing to integrate these different ideas. And then what I love most about the kind of root of the word integral is integrity. For me, it's all about integrity. It's one thing to talk about these ideas and to have a deep, nuanced understanding about the theory. But from my vantage point, that's rudimentary. The question is, are we practicing it? That's the advanced work. So for me, it's about translating these different ideas that we're so passionate about into action, into consistent day in and day out practices and ways of being that allow us to transform. So that's really where I put nearly all of my attention. It's on the practices. So really developing my own integrity in the spirit of becoming the type of individual that can hopefully play a role in making a positive contribution to the era that we are currently living in.
I'm so resonant with that because while, you know, many of my, you know, close friends and colleagues are sort of scholars or, you know, involved with various aspects of integral, and I find the theory very helpful and interesting and enjoy it. But to me, what moves me is, as you said, the practice. You know, what do you do with it? What are your daily practices? And to me, that's where leadership comes in. You know, leadership is one of those things that, again, I mean, it means different things to different people. The way that my colleagues and I do leader development and quote unquote teach leadership is practice based. It's let's learn some practices. Let's do some practices together. And in a certain sense, leader development as I've experienced it for the past 11 years is essentially integral practice, basically packaged and framed for leaders to engage. And so I'm just so resonant with that. So you mentioned that your academy that you're creating is about helping people have better practices and learn from folks that you know, that are subject matter experts in these various approaches, and you're calling it optimum living. Can you just say a little bit about what you're going to share about that at the conference, and you know, what kind of, you know, what does that look like? What kind of practices are you talking about, and how do you see the online academy being able to help people live more optimally? Can you just unpack that a little bit for us?
Yeah, sure. So, well, first of all, I just think the idea of being able to engage with world-class authors and teachers in this format across these different domains is personally very exciting for me. And, for example, ranging from, if you've been into a Whole Foods lately in the produce department, they've got something called an Andy score for all the different items in the store and the produce department in particular, where they rate 1,000 to 1 what the most nutritionally dense food is. So ANDI is aggregate nutritional density index. And kale, for example, is 1,000, whereas your refined foods will be 1, right? And the guy who came up with that is a guy named Dr. Joel Fuhrman. Well, he's going to be teaching a class on nutritional density in his book, Eat to Live, within the academy. I'm personally geeked up about that. He wrote another book called Disease Proof Your Child. Now, we know the things scientifically that can help us live a healthy life, right, and avoid all the major killers in society, from diabetes and heart disease, and to a large, which are nearly 100% preventable, other than type 1 diabetes and some genetic issues. And that's just exhilarating to me to imagine having him teach a course. Brendan Brazier, one of the leading, he's a professional Ironman triathlete, talking about optimal nutrition performance and that kind of stuff. So having, and then we can go down the list and all the different domains, having those teachers just share their wisdom in an interactive forum, to me is just cool, and just being able to leverage the Internet to be able to do that virtually is very exciting. And then in terms of my own approach and my own practices and what I'm passionate about sharing, I'm all about the idea that our consciousness is our greatest asset. So if we're talking leadership within a nonprofit or a for-profit, there's no question in my mind that each of our individual consciousnesses are our most important and most valuable asset. And too often we look at an important meeting that's coming up next week, and that trumps our meditation practice that morning. That makes no sense to me, you know, and the idea of really solidifying and building our lives around very simple, mundane practices, from our meditation to our nutrition to our exercise to our gratitude and our relationships. These are very, very mundane, fundamental things. But for me, that's the foundation on which, and the only thing on which and from which leadership can arise. So focusing on that again and again and again and bringing our attention back to those mundane things is something I'm excited to talk about and explore more.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing more about that, and it brings up one question for me, and that is that in my experience, especially in our broad community, a lot of people are either sort of really focused on business and being successful in business and, you know, doing certain things in the world, and it seems like a different group of people really put their attention and their energy and passion into self-awareness and developing their consciousness and philosophy. And you're interesting because, well, certainly there are some people, but it's not so common to meet somebody that is both very into, you know, all these practices and personal development and self-awareness and consciousness and philosophy. I mean, you're just as much of a kind of self-improvement, you know, nerd as the rest of our self-improvement nerd friends, right? Yoga and meditation and, you know, eating well and all these things. And yet you also are, you know, by any measure, a successful entrepreneur, not once, but, you know, multiple ventures you started and you've been successful. And I'm just wondering, like, what do you point to in terms of the foundation of your ability to do that, to integrate those two different things that so often people choose? I'm either going to be into self-improvement or I'm going to be a business person. Is it those practices that you talked about? Is it some inherent gift that you have? Is it a certain inspiration? Obviously, you can't summarize all of that in one answer. But what is your basic sense that is underlying your ability to do what I think a lot of people would like to do, but not so many people have?
Huh. Well, I appreciate your kind words, and the short answer would probably be I'm not sure. But to unpack that uncertainty a little bit, I would say that I have a deep commitment to understanding what my greatest strengths are and how I can give the most fully to the world. And I take this short time that we have on this planet to fully show up and to fully enjoy life and to give ourselves to the world pretty seriously. And I also enjoy enjoying life. And I know that those things go together, and that the more that I commit to living with virtue, the more that I commit to living with integrity and strive not just to understand these ideas and then to embody them for my own pursuits, but to figure out how I can give myself to the world, there seems to be a dynamic harmony in that, where as I align with that you know, the academy is called the Entheos Academy. Our business is called Entheos Enterprises. Entheos are the two little Greek words that make up the word enthusiasm. So enthusiasm is entheos, God within. And for me, my entire life's work is really, my highest goal is to connect to that divine within me more and more consistently. And as I do that, I shine more and more consistently with a radiant enthusiasm that I can only live with to the extent I honor some fundamentals of optimal living. And that's really my personal work. And then what we're doing creatively is to try to empower individuals who are into this stuff and into our work to kind of do that more and more and more themselves. So I think that's holding those two things of how do I plug in and shine and give myself most fully to the world. Those two things are very, very in the front of my mind day in and day out. And that's very much a practice for me of understanding what is it that only I can do in this world, and let me go hit it hard, you know, and have fun in the process and use all these practices, not as a means in themselves, but as a means to the end of really doing some cool work. And, of course, the byproduct of that is feeling pretty alive and feeling pretty good and enjoying the process as well.
Well, I am just really feeling inspired by that message and feel like it's such an important message that, you know, in terms of what's possible. And I'm really looking forward to hearing you share a lot more about that at the conference. So we're about out of time for our short call today, but thank you so much for sharing this inspirational message.
Thank you. Appreciate all your great work, and I'm really excited about this conference and all the guys and women that you've gotten together, and looking forward to continuing our chat.